Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about under the same management. Widowhood has come to be a gift to me. And I recognize that that may sound absolutely preposterous at first glance, and yet because it is in the experience of widowhood, it is within the sphere in which God was revealing himself to me that I saw that I was to glorify him, that it was there in that context that he wanted to make known himself to me. I said that there is a sense in which everything is a gift. There wouldn't be any widowhood if there weren't any death. There wouldn't be any divorce if there were no sin. But God has brought redemption to us through the cross of Jesus, and it is the cross that transforms all of our crosses into gifts. The cross does not exempt us from trouble, but it does transform our troubles. I told about losing my first husband, Jim Elliot, and the agonizing 5-day wait that we had, we wives, when we knew that our husbands were missing and hoped against hope that they were still alive. We were in Chelmeta, the little town in the east jungle of Ecuador where Missionary Aviation Fellowship had its base. The pilot who had started that base was Nate Saint, who was one of the 5 men missing. And we were there with Marge Saint and a good many guests, people who had come down to be of help to us. And there were endless babies to be fed, it seemed like, diapers to be washed, guests to be cooked for, sheets to be washed. And so, thank God, we had many very ordinary mundane tasks to occupy our minds. And that very often we find is our salvation. Haven't you found it that way? That when you've been down to the very bottom of the barrel in life, the simplest little task can be your salvation. Just having to wash dishes or do the laundry or sweep a room can cheer you up like no amount of sitting down and feeling sorry for yourself would ever do. I do want to try to make it as plain as I can in case there are some that still have no idea what I mean when I say that widowhood is a gift. When I speak of the gift of widowhood, I don't mean, please understand me, I do not mean that God made us widows. He did not inspire the Alca Indians to throw their lances, nor did he see to it that they found their mark. He does not give people cancer, cause a baby to be born with deformities, or persuade husbands and wives to divorce. These are among the evils which result from man's decision to disobey. In the Garden of Eden, man chose death, as God had plainly told him beforehand. We are still just as free to choose, and the consequences are just as inexorable. But so is his love. And I'd like to read again a quotation that I gave you yesterday from C.S. Lewis's brilliant treatment of the whole subject of suffering, his book called The Problem of Pain. And this is what he says: in awful and surprising truth, we are the objects of his love. You asked for a loving God, you have one. Not a senile benevolence that drowsily wishes you to be happy in your own way. Not the cold philanthropy of a conscientious magistrate, nor the care of a host who feels responsible for the comfort of his guests. But the consuming fire himself, the love that made the worlds, persistent as the artist's love for his work and despotic as a man's love for a dog, provident and venerable as a father's love for a child, jealous, inexorable, exacting as love between the sexes. That is the kind of love we're talking about when we talk about the love of God. The question that is fired at all of us Christians by non-believers is, if your God is so loving, why does he allow these terrible things that happen in the world? The earthquakes, the famine, the disease, AIDS, deformities, fires, natural disasters, wars, divorces. Why does God allow this? We are talking about an inexorable love. Love which made the worlds, and the love which came to earth and died to save us. God knew before the foundation of the world what the cost of our disobedience was going to be to him. He would be the one to pay it. It was on that cross at Calvary that he paid the price. He didn't have to do that. He did it for love. There was a lady named Christiana Tsai, a friend of my parents. She was a little Chinese lady who had come to the States many years before with a missionary named Mary Lehman. Christiana Tsai had a strange form of malaria which put her in bed for something like 50 years, if my memory serves me. And often I visited Christiana in her darkened room in an old home near Paradise, Pennsylvania, in that beautiful Lancaster County. And Christiana Tsai wrote this little leaflet, which was in one of my mother's scrapbooks that I found recently. This is what Christiana said. One afternoon, my godmother, China Mary Lehman, wheeled me to the living room window of the old Lehman home near Paradise, Pennsylvania. I saw the beautiful colors of the leaves on the different trees and also lots of dead leaves on the ground. The summer had gone. The winter of life was coming. I prayed that my Lord Jesus Christ would cause all in me that is displeasing to him to drop off like the dead leaves, and that he would make my old age as pleasant as the red leaves on the trees. Just at that moment, a car turned into our gravel driveway, and Dr. Philip E. Howard, Jr. and his wife got out and were welcomed at the front door. Now, I have to put in a parenthesis here to Christiana's little leaflet and tell you that Dr. Philip E. Howard, Jr. and his wife were my parents. Christiana goes on to say, it was a visit long to be remembered, because God used it to meet my need at the time. When Dr. and Mrs. Howard said goodbye, walking away through the evening shadows, none of us dreamed that this would be his last visit. But on Christmas Day, he was called home to enter the homeland. Another parenthesis, that was Christmas Day, 1963. For many years, Christiana says, Dr. Howard has been editor of the Sunday School Times. This magazine always had a special place in my heart, and one of the ambitions of my life was to meet its editor. Let me go backward in time and explain why. As a young girl recently converted out of Buddhism, I had a hunger for Christian literature. A friend gave me a subscription to the Sunday School Times, and when it arrived, I would read it all the way through. If mealtime came before I'd finished, my serving maids couldn't persuade me to eat at the table. They would bring my tray to my private garden, where I would stay until I had finished reading. My ambition was fulfilled when Dr. Charles Trumbull, former editor of the Sunday School Times, visited China Mary Lehman and me in China. It was my privilege to interpret for him, and he became my special friend. I did not meet Dr. Howard until I came to the United States many years later. The story of the intervening years is told in my book, Queen of the Dark Chamber. Remember, this is still Christiana Tsai speaking. This is not Elizabeth Elliot. I've never written a book called Queen of the Dark Chamber. Christiana goes on, so it was on that autumn day, as we talked about the things of the Lord, that I asked Dr. Howard to tell me again of his experience when he became editor of the Sunday School Times. He had been sick in bed with the flu when word came that his uncle, Dr. Trumbull, had died, and that he would probably be the next editor of the magazine. He was very much disturbed. His father, also ill, got out of bed and walked a few blocks to his son's home. "Philip," said the father, "you are still under the same management. Your uncle has died. Your responsibilities will be increased. But we are under the same management. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives the orders." Under the same management, this was a message to my own heart. My circumstances may change, or I may be required to carry on year after year. but there is no change in the management. That's the end of Christiana's little leaflet. 2 days after I knew of Jim Elliot's death, I took my baby Valerie and went back to Shandia, our jungle station. Volume 6 of my journal had encompassed all of the months of marriage. It was a slim volume. Now it was time to start a new one. There was no stationery store where I could buy a notebook, so I pulled out the old loose leaf I had used in college and turned to the last entry, written in what was then my habitual style, saturated with the English of the King James Bible. Lord, I do once more acknowledge with all my heart that I am thine. No claim have I upon this life, past, present, or future. I am all thine own. Thou hast said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I will be with thee. I am the Lord thy God. I have loved thee. I am with thee. Therefore, O dear Lord and Master, Redeemer, Lover, Friend, Beloved, do thou work out thine entire will in my life henceforth at any cost, in the time that is left to me on this earth. How short that may be, I do not know at all, but I trust thee. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. He shall preserve thy soul.
As Elizabeth Elliot has said, anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. She's been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.